Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay. So, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Doing all right. Cool. So, you feeling any better about WrestleMania? Because I feel like, I feel like the past couple Raws have been a little bit better.
Okay, so they haven't been bad.
Right.
But...
Are we all just still kind of sour on everything that's been going on?
Well, honestly, here's the thing. So, it's been a better than previous Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say a good Raw.
Okay.
I might not even say a better than average Raw. You know?
But better than lately.
Okay.
I'll concede to that.
So, on one level, you know, take any small victory you can get.
Right.
But... as watchable as Raw has been this week and last week, I guess, really these past 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
Nothing in it has really made me excited for Mania.
Alright.
Okay. I mean, it's really been the great failing of this entire time.
You got a little bit excited when the Undertaker gong hit, right?
No, I got excited when the Undertaker gong hit.
Okay. Alright. Just make sure you still had a pulse.
No, and that was a nice thing. Like, because it was waiting, yeah. And then the gong. And like
my only complaint with that is that we now have two quote unquote feuds where one half of the feud isn't there. And I think you made that point on Twitter, I believe.
And there's that one. There's the Sting one, the Undertaker one, and really the Brock and Roman one.
Brock has been there more than. Definitely more than Undertaker, probably more than Sting. Even though him and Sting have probably said the same words.
Same amount of words.
But
Brock
was
there this week.
But then again, you don't see a fake Brock anywhere.
Right.
That would be kind of hard to pull off.
Has Brock? He might have had one more show appearance between
possibly
Rumble and right now.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to have another one, but he famously, you know, walked out. Right.
And so here's the thing: is yeah, Paul Heyman does a lot to carry that.
Right.
And
it doesn't feel as much as a one-sided feud. Like
I see, but the thing is, like, there's something about Brock standing in the ring.
Yeah.
Brock, they've done, and what Paul Heyman has done is, I mean, it's the old show don't tell thing. They have successfully built Brock up as a behemoth and a monster and a genuine unstoppable force.
Right.
Like, there was a point, like, right around the SummerSlam, right around Cena's, what was the next one? Night of Champions match? Where it was like, I don't know how they're gonna get this belt off of Brock.
Right.
I don't know what it's gonna take.
Yeah.
And then when it's like, oh, I see what it's gonna take. I see what they're gonna do.
They're gonna build the crap out of Roman, and Roman's going to do his best to believably beat Brock, which I still have my reservations about, but, you know, whatever. And I don't, honestly, like, it's weird how they're doing that, because, you think about it, we're, what, 2 Raws away from WrestleMania? And we've still, like, we haven't seen Brock and Roman, theoretically, in the same room, ring, whatever, since the day after Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know? That seems weird to me because, and I wrote a rager about it. I don't think it's up yet. I think it goes up maybe tomorrow. And I saw someone else talk about this online. The feud now is about Brock and this whole UFC thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's been about. Like, it's his contract status has been the focus of this feud. Like, Roman, probably the most intelligent way to go about this, and they're doing it, is Roman's not saying anything.
Yeah.
But hardly ever. And if he is saying something, it's towards, like, Seth or something. Nothing towards Brock, nothing about Paul Heyman, and he's not saying any dumb cartoon catchphrase, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's just wrestling, for the most part.
Yeah.
Because that is his quote-unquote strong point. Some would say that's quite limited, but it's a strong point nonetheless.
Yeah.
But it's... this whole story isn't about their feud, isn't, like, Paul Heyman will mention, you know, Roman once in a while, but it's the focus seems to be more on this whole contract thing, and I think possibly they're using it to make sure that Brock gets booed. Because they're thinking the crowd is going to react like they did at WrestleMania 20. Well,
that's the thing, is like, they've made their bed, now they have to lie in it, yeah. That they're going to put this match on, this mm-hmm. is going to end the show, what's going to happen? And it's yeah. going to be a smarky, smart, smart crowd.
Yep.
And it's, you know, and there's, you know, there's a lot of finger pointing at the WWE, at what they're doing to try and get the mm-hmm. reaction they want. And I'm sure some of it's true. I don't know if all of it's true.
Right.
It's probably somewhere in that middle ground.
Gray area, yeah.
But you know, a lot of like pumping in mm-hmm. cheers for Roman. There was talk that they were muting Brian chants when he came out this yeah. past Monday. I don't know, you know?
Right.
Part of me is like, I hope not, because that's even worse. Like, again, the worst thing about the Rumble to me was always, you know, I can live with an out-of-touch company that just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
It's much more frustrating
when the company gets it and knowingly stifles
and
it.
And doesn't care. And so, like, part of me hopes that that's not true.
Right.
But at the same time, part of me really hopes that's true, because you guys were way too quiet when Brian came out.
No, I agree. And, you know, be that as it may, because, you know, it could be a number of factors. Could be the building, acoustics, whatever. Could be not that smart of a crowd.
Yeah.
Whatever. Or, you know, it could be the evil, you know, guy behind the curtain situation.
Yeah.
I will, and then, you know, of course, because it's the cynical fan in me that always has this in the back of my mind, was of like, maybe this whole UFC contract thing is a swerve. Like, well, maybe they're just doing that, like I said, to make sure he gets booed, and everyone boos him on, you know, Sunday at WrestleMania, but they all look incredibly silly when he shows up for a Tuesday night taping of SmackDown.
Well, I mean,
although I don't think Brock would ever show up to a Tuesday night taping of SmackDown.
Part of it is, how much do you think Vince would let Paul Heyman talk about UFC if he did not have Brock locked down? If that contract wasn't signed, do you think Vince would be that comfortable with Paul Heyman so freely threatening?
And I would
Brock will be on UFC on WWE television.
I would like some sort of storyline payoff on this whole, like, mic cutting out thing.
Yeah.
This has happened quite a bit the past 2 weeks, and it's making me think that it's more of a work than it is actual, like, alright, this is how we tell Paul to ease up. Mm-hmm. You know, and it very well could be. You know, that's just how they do it. That's how they tell him to ease up, kind of come back a little bit.
Yeah.
But now it's happened pretty steady the past 2 weeks. It's starting to make me think that there's actual, like, storyline to this.
Sounds like better hurry up. There's 2 weeks left.
Well, that's the thing. Like, maybe this is something that goes beyond WrestleMania. You know, that's the one thought I'm having. I was like, well, they got this whole mic cutting out thing. Like, they've got to have some sort of plan for that, right? Or they're just, you know, making it feel like Paul Heyman really is saying something that that shouldn't be said, and that gets the fans even more into it.
I was like,
it could all be a ploy.
But that puts me on the side of Brock even more.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I mean, that goes back to the CM Punk thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know,
that was...
That's the one thing that keeps coming to my mind every time that happens to Paul Heyman. I was like, well, this feels like a very CM Punk thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
And there's an easy association there.
Yep.
And so it's just kind of like, you know, that's why I cheered CM Punk. That's why I want to cheer Paul Heyman. So I'll cheer Brock Lesnar. So if the goal is to get me to boo Brock Lesnar, they have done a woeful job,
right,
of doing that. You know, and I think, like, there's so much of, like, well, Roman's going to win, you know, no matter what. The scripted right. ending is Roman winning. And so, I mean, it's kind of the streak match of the year, because, like, Undertaker's match, I don't know which way they're going.
Right.
They could go either way with the Undertaker match. That's very interesting. This main event match, that's the one that I know how it's going to end.
Right.
That's the one where I've said in years before, with the street match, all I want to do is catch my breath at a two count.
Right.
I would like to catch my breath at a two count in the main event. Yeah. If that happens, okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know what?
So, the important thing that we need to really, that we really touched on here is Paul Heyman's getting his mic cut.
Yeah.
CM Punk got his mic cut. Hashtag CM Punk WrestleMania 31 confirmed.
I mean, he's talking about UFC, which is what CM Punk talked about the last time I was listening to CM Punk.
Right? That's what he's quote-unquote doing now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have we seen him? Have we seen any training videos? Mm. Have any of those, you know, hit online? I don't know what, I don't know if there's actual cameras in, you know, the entire state of Wisconsin. I assume they have, like, really long distance lenses for all Green Bay Packers games.
God, that's not a funny joke.
I don't care.
That is boo.
Cameras don't exist in Wisconsin. Make it trend.
So, honestly, here's the question now to me.
Okay.
And part of this is just because I'm like, I feel like I know what WrestleMania looks like.
Okay.
I kind of know how the end of WrestleMania looks.
By the most part, yeah.
So, the thing that's most interesting now is what happens after WrestleMania. And that's a problem for WrestleMania, you know, that's not the most exciting thing on my wrestling calendar right now, which it should be. But right now, the most exciting thing is that Monday after, and that week after. So where do you think, looking at WrestleMania right now, where do you think they can possibly be going post-WrestleMania into the pocket of suck?
Well, I mean, main event-wise, you would have, I think you almost have to have Roman and Seth, which means Seth would cash in fairly quickly, so mm-hmm. Roman has a day reign, if that.
I was like, do you think that they would do that to their golden boy?
I mean, if, you know, you have Seth Rollins do the heel, you know, cash in and his weakest moment, whatever, even though
that's
everyone does that, but they like saying that that's a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
But, we're just assuming Brock is, okay, even if Brock stays with WWE, we're not going to see him at Extreme Rules, I don't think. We've seen him in Extreme Rules in the past, sure. But I don't see that happening this year.
Yeah.
So, especially if he loses the belt. So I think whether he stays with WWE or goes to the UFC, either way, Brock's gonna be out of the picture for at least a little while.
Okay.
So they need something that they can interject quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they did something that absolutely made no sense. And made Kane and Daniel Bryan go against each other.
Yeah.
And that felt like that lasted like an entire calendar year. And we got Brie yelling. Brie, yeah. Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the Brie gets fired, Stephanie gets arrested.
Right.
Situation.
Situation? Crisis? Abomination?
Thingamajig?
I need a thesaurus for this. the other option here would, of course, just something random, throwing another guy, someone for Roman to beat up.
Okay.
Because that's essentially what Kane was last year to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
If they want to do something that kind of makes sense to kind of ignite right out the gate, Seth is the obvious choice.
Do you think that means Seth is losing at Mania or winning at Mania? Because if he's going to be champion within 48 hours of that match, do you want him losing cleanly to Randy Orton?
I mean, if I was running WWE and I wanted things to make sense, then yeah, Seth wins clean. But this is WWE we're talking about. They'll have Seth lose clean and then cash in the next night and win the belt.
Yeah.
I mean, far more ridiculous things have happened. But yeah, I absolutely can see that happening. The way they plan it, yeah. There's so many things in this card that just seems very predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing we don't like, you know, we don't like about WrestleMania is, like, we want at least a little bit of a little bit of not knowing what's going
exactly next. Exactly. Well, that's the thing, is like the things that I don't know who's going to win the Andre the Giant match.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll both agree of what should happen.
Axelmania?
Well, I was going to say Mizdow. Mizdow eliminating Miz at the very end.
Mizdow eliminating Miz should happen, and that can happen at any point. But I feel like Axelmania needs to run wild.
Yeah.
And he needs to continue to not be eliminated. Or if he loses, he needs to somehow not be eliminated from the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
He needs to, like, go under the ropes and, like, come back in at the end, but, like, no, that doesn't count, sir.
Or do that whole thing where, you know, he fights with somebody else and it, like, kind of spills out, you know, in out of the ring, but, like, not over the top rope, and he gets, you know, beat up or put through a table or whatever, and they just cart him out. Never officially being eliminated, but they're like, oh, he's been taken out. Doing something like that, to where he can be like, oh, Axelmania continues, you know?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing, though, is like, yeah, that's something I don't know who's gonna win the Andre the Giant, so that's theoretically exciting, but you kinda killed it by having your, you know, winner last year do nothing with that.
Yeah.
You know? When it was like, it really felt like he was ready, we were ready, let's all get excited about this, and then nothing.
Yeah.
So, it's, I mean, it was your inaugural Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and so now it's like,
and then you destroy it the next night.
Yeah.
You have Jack Swagger break it into pieces the next night. Like, way too easily, too. Like, did you see how many referees it took to put that dumb trophy in the ring after Cesaro won?
But
the answer is all of them!
Jack Swagger is super strong.
And then Jack Swagger...
You can tell by the push-ups that he does.
He does a lot of push-ups. So, yeah, I would like to... We should also do a prediction whenever we finally do those. We should do a prediction on how long the trophy will last this year. I'll say at least... a week? Maybe?
At least a week.
At least more than 24 hours?
I mean, the thing is, like, is the winner gonna keep bringing that trophy out week after week after week? Is it gonna be...
And I don't remember if the trophy actually did get destroyed 24 hours, but it felt really quick.
I mean, it's gonna be, like, that kind of thing where, like, when somebody won King of the Ring, and then they're referred to as King Booker or King Sheamus or whatever, and it just kind of, like, awkwardly fizzled away about 2 months later. Mm-hmm. Never to be mentioned again.
Well, with Sheamus, it kind of went away when he was turning face.
Yeah.
Because that was like the tail end of his heel run.
I mean, King Booker stuck around for a while.
Well, yeah, because he made it something.
Yeah.
You know, he did that dumb accent and he had his Queen Charmel and he made it a thing. Did you watch the WWE 24 with Booker?
No.
It was really good.
Yeah?
It was interesting. It's like they're turning it into a small, like, half-hour documentary series.
Yeah.
At least that's what I can tell so far. It was interesting. You know, it kind of followed him around, like, a couple days on the road, and then talked about his life, and then went that route with it.
Alright.
So, it's like one of those guys where, like, you're not sure if WWE would put effort into doing a full-on documentary with them, although they should with Booker, I feel.
Yeah.
It's a Hall of Famer, come on. But, you know, they're not going to do that for everybody.
Right.
So these, you know, half-hour things, I think they could actually pull that off.
That's really nice. Like,
I like the little bit that they did with the Usos a few months ago, too.
Yeah, I dug the first 24. You didn't. So
I was wanting a little bit more. It's not that I didn't like it. I was wanting more.
But it's kind of nice to see that they've kind of run this course of, hey, you guys, remember Austin versus McMahon? That was the most important thing we've ever done.
Right.
The series, like,
yeah.
I mean, that was basically the rivalry series and the Monday Night War series, is all variations on that, and people were like cramming that feud into the mention it in completely irrelevant episodes.
Right. What was I talking about?
Booker T.
Why was I talking about Booker T? King Booker. Okay. I would like to see King of the Ring come back. It's been a few years. We haven't seen it since Sheamus.
Sheamus in 2010 was the last winner.
Along those lines, yeah.
So, I believe so.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I would be interested to see that. You have a nearly entirely new roster than you did 4 years ago. Like a lot of your fairly frequent players were, you know, nowhere close to being main eventers.
Yeah, yeah.
4 years ago.
Who would win King of the Ring right now?
Dolph Ziggler.
Really?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it kind of fan appeases. You give him a present without actually having to give him a title.
Alright. Okay.
Fans feel like you're pushing him when you're really not, so that they can say, oh, this is it, this is definitely the thing. And not.
Yeah, see, I don't see them, passing up the opportunity to have Roman Reigns win it. Have him win everything, apparently.
If they brought it back as a pay-per-view King of the Ring,
yeah.
Roman Reigns. If it's just an episode of Raw, Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, just so they will make us feel good for like that one night.
Yep, yep, and we can sit here and be like, oh, he's pushing. This is his push. Here it comes, you guys.
All hail King Ziggs.
Okay, do you think?
Do I think?
Do you think that Dolph Ziggler will ever be WWE champion?
At this point, not really.
You don't think he'll ever like he won't. He'll never be. He won't be the face of the company.
No.
He won't be a 10-time Edge Cena-level champion.
You're right.
Do you think he will get one run as WWE champion?
I don't know. Like, all my hope about Dolph has been just beaten out of me. So I don't think so.
Really? Ugh.
I know. It hurts. I want him to. I want him to have all the championships.
Rey Mysterio is WWE champion.
I know.
One night.
I know.
He's got it. I still, maybe I'm just being foolishly optimistic, but I still feel like he's gonna get it at least once in his career. They will let Dolph Ziggler be WWE champion. I want it so bad.
Honestly, like, WWE was never higher on Ziggler than they were this past fall.
Mm-hmm.
Or in winter. And they're already starting to, you know, back away from some.
I mean
what has he done? He's, you know, he's did the hot potato thing with the Intercontinental belt, but that's it.
I mean, he's in the IC Championship now, so
he's in WrestleMania. That's more than we can say for Daniel Bryan.
Is Daniel Bryan?
He hasn't been announced for anything yet.
He's gonna be in the IC.
Yeah, but they haven't officially added him yet.
Oh well,
makes me nervous.
Lottie flip-de-doo.
That makes me nervous that Sheamus is coming back and we're getting another Sheamus and Daniel Bryan.
There is no way we will get Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan.
Sir, if Sheamus comes back next week and they announce a Daniel Bryan Sheamus match, there's so many things I will make you say on this podcast.
I
will hand you a hat for you to eat.
That's fair. I feel like I live in a world where only so many bad things can happen. I do not feel...
Why do you tip fate like that? You jerk! Stop saying things like that!
I cannot imagine that they would do that.
Great.
Now, if...
You just made Ryback WWE champion. Just because you were saying stuff like that.
If Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus are both in the IC title match, that does not count. I can totally see that happening.
Okay.
But if we have a singles for no reason, Dolph Ziggler, or Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus match.
Mm-hmm.
There's no feud there.
I agree. I know.
I really don't think that'll happen. I really don't.
I understand. You're so tempted.
If that happens, I will hang my head lower than it hath ever hanged.
I think you just solidified Baron Corbin having like a 1 year title reign at WWE champ.
Well, you're the only one that doesn't like Baron Corbin, so whoopsie.
I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person that doesn't like Baron Corbin. I was fine about him until I actually saw him in a match that was longer than 2 minutes. Then I was like, okay, no, this guy's garbage. Never mind.
He's all right.
Alright, fair enough.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, not main event status yet. I don't think you should be.
No.
But that's what NXT is for.
Fair enough.
It's for finding that development.
Speaking of, should we talk about that?
Sure.
A little bit. So, unless you've been living on a rock and don't have internet connection, there's this whole Bill DeMott situation going on. A lot of accusations came about, accusations about, physical and emotional abuse towards, NXT developmental talents. Of course, no current NXT talent has said anything because they like their job.
Yeah.
But a lot of former talent has said things, and it seems to be pretty, consistent in nature and, alleged viciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I forget the name of the guy who was the first to really come forward. He released this email that he had sent to WWE about his situation with Bill DeMott and chronicled everything that he witnessed. And once that went on Reddit, it just caught like wildfire, and then more and more accusations started coming out to the point where, the end of last week, Bill DeMott resigned.
Yeah.
Still stating that, he was innocent of all these accusations, but to avoid further embarrassment for WWE to not have to put up with this, he resigned. Initial rumors were that he was going to get an office job. Those rumors have now been fully denied by WWE. He's out of the company completely. Taking over as head trainer now is Jason Albert, Tensai, A-Train, whatever you want to call
him.
That guy. I think, I like the move. Obviously wasn't my first choice.
Yeah.
If I had, control over any of this, I would have given all of the money to Lance Storm to come and train. Yeah, oh yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. He trained like half the people in NXT before they went to NXT.
That's true. I mean, I would have gone Steamboat because he's there.
That was the thing. Like, they wanted to hire within the company as a way to show that this Bill DeMott situation is an isolated incident. It is a failure of personal conduct and not a institutional failure.
Yeah.
So, I like Jason Albert. He seems, every time I see him on NXT, he seems really passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that alone, and he already has a better rapport with the NXT people, according, to a lot of reports.
Yeah.
Because I think, who's the guy that's making that, Wrestling is a Wrestling?
Max Landis.
Yeah, he put out a tweet because he's, friends with a lot of NXT guys, and he's like, I won't name names or anything, but the feeling after DeMott resigned is like that of, saying that we finally got, Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Like that kind of relief from people who are currently at NXT,
Okay. By and large, I think my biggest takeaway from this, what was the dumb name that Bill DeMott wrestled under?
Hugh Morris,
yes.
Or Hugh G Reaction was another one I think he had? Hugh Morris is the one that everyone knows him by.
Okay, so, this stuff started coming out, and a lot of the reactions were something on the level of, like, why is Hugh Morris, training anybody anyway? Because he never amounted anything, why would you have him in charge? Doesn't matter.
No. That, just because you didn't get over with fans compared to other people doesn't mean that you're a bad teacher. A bad trainer.
Right.
Slapping somebody on the back of the head that has a concussion makes you a bad trainer.
Yes.
Okay? And another way to look at it is you look at the successes of people that had gone through NXT. Which one of those were guys who were trained elsewhere, went through indies and whatever, and developed their talent? And which ones are the ones that have been exclusively trained by DeMott? And that's a very small list compared to a very large list, but those the indie guys.
Yeah.
I
mean, I adore NXT the show.
Yeah.
I think it's the best thing WWE's putting out. I still think indies is the way to become the best wrestler.
Yeah.
You can be. Now,
because those are the guys that they can hire and almost immediately become impactful in NXT.
Right.
With what we've seen.
Well, and again, this might not be the best way to become the face of WWE, this might not be the best way to rise to the ranks, that kind of thing.
Right.
But, I mean, well, somebody at one point had this theory about Daniel Bryan not wanting to be in the main event.
Right.
And like, kind of shunning that because Daniel Bryan wants to be a great wrestler.
Right.
He doesn't want to be a WWE superstar. He wants to be a wrestler. That's what all of his promos have been about. And somebody said Daniel Bryan seems like the kind of guy who would be more excited about a fantastic 20-minute mid-card fight than an okay 10 to 15-minute main event.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the kind of thing. It's like that the wrestling, I think, is still... And NXT might work to change this, and that's and I think it's very possible that NXT will become the best, the how-to get into the business of wrestling. But right now, I think the indies is still... If you're trying to be the best wrestler, even not the most successful, but the best, indies is the way.
And you go to NXT, you kind of hone the overall package.
Yes.
You know, the presentation and everything else.
Yeah, you do that.
Then you're good.
You hit that WWE style.
Right.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Did you see, like, apparently there was a story a few years ago, or a couple years ago, that maybe, like, I don't know, but basically Bill Lamont took credit for Daniel Bryan being such a great wrestler.
Really?
Because he's like, yeah, no, we, like, had to unteach him of certain stuff or something along those lines. I was like, okay, now I know you're full of crap. I don't think so. See, the thing about this Bill Lamont thing is this is the first time accusations have happened, and then the first time it happened in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the organization that he was with in Florida. Wasn't FCW. I think it was like Deep South Wrestling, okay. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar accusations to the point where he was flat out fired.
Yeah.
From the company.
Right, no.
And then they bring him back in 2011, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, because of the reaction that he got in Tough Enough. You know?
Yeah.
He was a trainer there, got a lot of reaction, people seemed to like that on TV, and apparently they just decided that's a good reason to bring him back for NXT.
I mean, I'll be totally honest, I liked him on Tough Enough.
No, yeah, me too. I honestly did. I didn't know, obviously.
Know about all the issues,
didn't though. Know about all these other issues, fine, but... And once this came to light, I was like, yeah, no, he should be, you know...
He needs to go. I mean, this the... endangering people's health.
Right.
Endangering people's safety, making people uncomfortable, is never okay in any situation.
Right.
Especially one that is so inherently dangerous to begin with.
Right. And just the one thing that I try to be positive that, like, okay, he's gone, they're moving on, whatever, but yeah, I still, like, WWE knew about this. He had plenty of people coming up to them and telling them, hey, this is happening, we don't like this, we don't appreciate this, please do something. Because I think the initial reaction, the official statement that WWE made after that letter went on Reddit a couple weeks ago, their reaction was, oh yeah, we investigated it then. We didn't find anything. Essentially is what they said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's a lot of people, you know, saying otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, only so much of it sounds like, you know, scorned ex-developmental guy who's just mad that he didn't make it or something like that, because you're always going to be skeptical of that. But at the same time, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
Saying relatively the same type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And apparently he hates Enzo Amore, and that is seems wrong.
That's how you lose the internet.
Right? You try to take credit for Daniel Bryan's wrestling ability, and you hate Enzo Amore? Like, I know he's not great in the ring. Whatever. I don't care. The guy's entertaining as crap.
I think that, with something like that, yeah, WWE probably knew about a lot of it, probably didn't care, probably thought a lot of it was funny.
Right.
And yet, like him leaving is, it's not quite a band-aid on a gaping wound, but it's more like a band-aid you put on the other arm.
Yeah.
With the gaping wound still there. Yeah.
And see, that's why I think it was it's a very good move for WWE not to offer him an office position.
No, they haven't.
Then it feels very much like, okay, well, he did wrong, but he's our guy, and so we're gonna hold on to him. You know, and I understand, like, they probably would have, they probably were tempted to hold on to him because, you know, none of the accusations have been verified or whatever.
Yeah.
But still. Still, like, it's one of those things where it's just like, as PR-oriented as you claim to be these days, that is the one thing you need to stay clear of.
At some point, somebody's going to turn over a stone, uncover.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a messy, messy day.
Yep.
And it's just, it's honestly a matter of time.
And it'll get to the point where your brand is identified by this scandal, and none of us want WWE to get rid of NXT or do anything with it.
Like, no.
And it doesn't matter, like, he probably has nothing to do with the actual show. He's just there for developmental in the performance center, whatever. As far as the show, it's a separate thing.
Yeah.
But it still has NXT on there, it still has that brand. And so, had this continued, had something been uncovered and blown out to everybody's consciousness, then that's the point where NXT is synonymous with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, the school of Penn State, you know, they're going through that now. It's a much more serious issue that they faced. But for a while, that school is, you know, even though none of the people that were involved in that are there anymore, that school, sadly, is going to be, you know...
Well, but here's the thing.
To a scandal.
I mean, I think we both would kind of begrudgingly say, like, there's a fair chance that higher-ups in WWE knew about this a long time. And
that's the part that feels really icky to me.
Yeah, it does feel icky. But I think something will get uncovered someday. And it will be dirt on somewhere high up in the WWE. And then what happens when, you know, you're talking about, like, that scandal gets synonymous with the WWE.
Right. Then it's WWE is going...
I don't think any changes will be made before that.
No. And honestly, like, WWE, this, a few guys getting slapped around and having really bad things yelled at them isn't the worst scandal that WWE has ever faced.
You know? That's true.
So if that's the extent of it, they'll be fine. They can survive that. They can correct the course and keep going.
Yeah.
It would have to be something pretty big to really, like, bring WWE to their knees to the point where they would consider rebranding, consider taking major steps to distance themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they survived the Chris Benoit thing. That was a big crap storm for them. The steroid stuff in the 90s. There's something else involving Vince I'm blanking on right now, but a bunch of other stuff that they narrowly avoided that situation where their company was co-branded with this horrible.
No, thing. I mean, you can even throw the Attitude Era in there. They were brand. I mean, they did it intentionally to themselves.
Yeah,
and did it with relish, and it worked great for the ratings. But they were.
But it killed Linda's.
It did. I mean, it was brand. They were branded as shock and crass, and
mm-hmm.
I mean that's something that they're still stuck with today, right. Even though they are fast to remind you, oh, we're a PG company, WWE, be a star and don't bully and read a book and. All that stuff, and...
But then you're like...
Hey!
It's like, yeah,
Katie
but...
Katie Vick!
It's like, yeah, but... I remember something happening. I can't remember exactly what it was. Let me bring up your own network. Oh, here it is. Bam.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they make it easier for them now to bring
What's
up...
What's gonna happen...
Damning evidence.
When Triple H's child Googles WWE.
Googles his... You know, Googles their father.
Yeah.
Right.
China can't be in the Hall of Fame.
China can't be in the Hall of Fame. Yay.
Okay, so a few more things real quick. Okay. Do you think anything's gonna come of Axelmania?
No, they'll probably let it fizzle eventually.
I mean,
I don't think nothing's gonna happen within now in WrestleMania. It might be like a nice little mention here during the Battle Royal, but
It kind of
he's gonna get eliminated quickly.
It kind of feels like if it was any other time of the year, they would be leaning hard into this Axelmania thing, but it's WrestleMania, so they're not. Do you think we can get, we'll get any Hulk Hogan Curtis Axel interaction.
God, I hope so.
Don't you?
I'm really kind of hoping there's some point where Curtis Axel comes out to quote unquote hijack the show,
mm-hmm.
that he's the and maybe like before the like between whatever the second to last matches and the main event.
Yeah.
Curtis Axel comes out and be like, I'm hijacking, the show is mine. I will not leave this arena or this ring until Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar come out for the main event and we do this three way. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'm the real American. Out comes Hogan. Does all the Hogan stuff. And bada boom.
Does the point, does the listen, does the ears, does the muscles.
And with the leg drop too, yes.
Okay.
And the big boot leg drop.
Yep.
And, you know.
Is that what you want?
And then, you know, dusts his hands off, throws him over the rope, dusts his hands off, you know, does the whole crowd stuff, and on to the main event.
Alright. That, or,
mm-hmm.
or, Curtis Axel opens up the show with, we are not starting this. Because of Axelmania.
Yeah.
And Hulk Hogan comes out and goes, no, no, you're doing it wrong. It's like this. And then does Hulkamania. And then for the next 4 months, we get vignettes, or 4 weeks, we get vignettes of Hogan teaching Curtis Axel how to properly do Axelmania.
What's the payoff for that, though?
I don't care. Like, I just want Rocky IV montages of Hogan having to train.
Well, then they should have done that like a couple weeks ago and like started it then, leading to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean that too. But yeah,
I mean, but that would be the smart thing to do. But you know, whatever.
I mean, a couple weeks ago, I didn't think WrestleMania was going anywhere.
True. No, I didn't either, but. By God, they even gave that dude a counter, which he got it wrong.
Alright, bold prediction.
Okay.
So, there's two Raws left.
Okay.
Sting will be at the Raw before WrestleMania.
God, I hope
we're
so.
We're all fairly sure. Do you think Sting will be at this Raw, this upcoming one, two before WrestleMania?
No.
No?
Not a chance.
Do you think Undertaker will be there?
No, not a chance.
Do you think Brock will be there?
No, not a chance. None of them.
You think none of them will be there
mm-mm,
this week?
Nope. Mm-mm. Triple H didn't say anything on Raw this week, so Triple H is, you know, he's had a week off. Let him, he'll come out, he'll talk some more.
So he can probably bump that up to a 50-minute promo.
Yeah,
Triple
absolutely.
H in the ring.
You got him, you got Lesnar. There's not a chance. This Raw is not gonna be a good one. This
all right,
is one coming
all right,
up.
Alright. So, in 2 weeks.
Yes.
When Brock, Taker and Sting are all there.
Yeah, they gotta sell the show. Yeah, they'll all be there.
Do you think Sting will talk?
No.
Do you think Taker will talk?
No.
Do you think Lesnar will talk?
Absolutely not. At most, we'll get a goat yell.
No, let's do this?
No, I think they learned their lesson from last year. Like, yeah, let's not make them a meme again.
So your predictions are, of the three, none of them will appear this week, and the Monday before WrestleMania, they will all three appear, and none of them will say a word.
Yep.
Alright.
You see this? Picture a giant wall, taking my hat off, throwing my hat over it.
Alright.
Bam.
We will.
Stick into it. What do you think?
Okay.
Now that I've made my bold prediction.
Yeah, I know. Your bold prediction was a little crazy.
I'm sorry.
So, I think one of the three will appear this week.
Which one?
I haven't decided yet.
It would be Undertaker, I feel.
You think Undertaker?
He's the only one that we haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, Undertaker is the...
He's the one where it's like, okay, we have to see him before WrestleMania, right?
Undertaker is the one where I would like Undertaker's reasonings for accepting this match.
Mm.
I mean, Undertaker has accepted the match.
You know,
Brock, Bray Wyatt kind of just genie in a bottle him out.
That is what he did, didn't he?
No, he totally did.
I didn't think about that.
So,
thank you, Joel.
I think, I really hope Sting, he doesn't have to say that, but if Sting could just say something on the Raw before, like, he doesn't have to sit there and, like, fully explain himself, but if he comes out and just, like, Triple H, you know what you did, and, like, walks away.
And then we're just like, wait, what?
Like, whatever it is.
Does it have something to do with the what he was going to say to Sean?
I got... It should. God, if that was the tie-in, I'd take everything bad I ever said back. No, everything bad.
Everything? About...
Everything bad.
About... Like, about everything or just this feud?
I'll be tempted to do everything. And then I'll be like, that hand was part of the long gun.
And you know what? Face Sheamus wasn't that bad.
Wasn't that bad. Because they tied it back, because Sheamus knocked him out at the beginning, and it was all to get to this point where they tied the Sting feud into that, what was Triple H gonna say to Shawn Michaels? If that happens, no, I'll throw that hammer in the wall. If that happens, I take back everything bad I ever said.
About everything. It's WWE related.
I think so, except for the, like, you know, racism. That's still probably bad.
Have we talked about anything racism?
In like 160 episodes, you think that, like, and as questionable as WWE's team tends to, like, toe that line, I feel like we've probably mentioned it at once or twice.
Some sort of racism?
Yeah.
If not us, Blair. It seems like something Blair would talk about.
Yeah. So, I think, okay. So, I think that Undertaker will appear.
Okay.
And, I think that he will talk both things. And I think that nobody will acknowledge that the Monday in 2 weeks, Monday after next, nobody will acknowledge that Taker and Lesnar are in the same building for the first time since the streak was broken.
Yeah. Yeah. No one, yeah, you're right.
It'll be completely ignored, even though it should be super awkward.
You're right, it should be. So. At least, like, a head nod or something, yeah. Right? Like, one coming out, one coming in, like, at least, like, you know.
Just a nod, or
tip of the hat.
Or like a right. Kind of thing.
Or give him a throat slash thing, yeah. You know?
Something.
Or at least, or Brock will just probably bounce around.
You want to know what's making you happy?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is making me happy this week.
That's good.
That was a good show.
It was a good show. And it had a Hulk Hogan reference in it.
It did. I forgot. Although, that actress, when she was doing her Hulk Hogan impersonation, half the time, that was a Macho Man. That was a Macho Man impersonation. As soon as she said, oh yeah, I was like, oh, please. Please, woman.
Excuse yourself, Kimmy Schmidt.
No, it was one of the other ones.
Yeah.
It was one of the other mold ones.
Kimmy Schmidt, the TV show, not Kimmy Schmidt, the character.
Fine. Kimmy Schmidt, the character, was amazing and delightful. We saw that girl on Mystery Team.
Yep.
And now she's got her own show on Netflix.
Yeah.
Way to go, her. I people in Derek Comedy really did well for themselves.
No.
Got DC Pearson he's written two books, stand-up career, and I believe he's turning one of those books into a movie right now. Mm-hmm. You got Donald Glover, who's probably one of the biggest rappers in the world right now, after, you know, writing for 30 Rock, being on Community, having a successful stand-up career, all that other stuff, movies, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got guys on SNL, all that other stuff.
No, it turned out good for them.
It really did. We should do stuff like that.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on SNL. That seems like a lot of work. I want a book deal.
That'd be nice.
I'll take a book deal.
Right.
Yeah. Wrestling related, I've been watching a lot of Nakamura stuff on YouTube. I don't know what it is, but I just got in the mood to, like, watch a bunch of his stuff while I was at work. I'm a great employee, you guys, I swear. That guy is becoming, like, really quickly becoming my favorite person on the planet. Joel, you need to watch Wrestle Kingdom 9.
All right.
I got it on my computer.
All right.
We'll set aside 4 hours Monday.
Okay. What's making me happy?
Yeah, what's making me happy, buddy?
Started the slideshow.
Wow. Okay. I think you would have started by now.
Nope. Just thought about it the other day. I was like, should get onto that.
Funny, and this is a little inside baseball. For Lasermania, I put out an announcement, I believe yesterday, mm-hmm. where I was, you know, just trying to get a head count of who exactly is attending what, because we're getting to the point where we need to start, like, making reservations for laser tag and everything, and they'll want to know exactly how many people are coming.
Right.
And so I put that out there. Heather responded to one today,
mm-hmm.
where she was like, because we had the thing the day before, where it's just hanging out, movies, might watch Little Hall of Fame, I don't know, I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all the stuff on Sunday, which is laser tag and the slideshow, WrestleMania. WrestleMania is being held at your guys' new place.
Yes.
Heather posted on Facebook, she was just like, not sure about the stuff the day before, but I think I should be good for the 29th for mm-hmm. WrestleMania. I was like, are we having like a weird venue crisis right now we need to be talking about? Or are you being sarcastic? I didn't respond because I didn't know how I should. But I had a nice little like crisis in my head for like a few seconds about that. I was like,
To the best of my knowledge, WrestleMania is going to be shown at my apartment.
Oh god, we're screwed. We're bad at planning this stuff, dude.
It's okay. You know what? As long as I am sitting in front of a television, you're connected right. to the you're right. network.
And I have talked a lot about this with my sister. We are going to have a Lasermania cake. Absolutely.
Awesome.
It's going to happen.
Good, good, good. But yeah, that's what's making me happy. Finally started the slideshow.
Are you getting any, like, excited that WrestleMania is happening? Like, just the event? Not necessarily because of the card, but...
I don't know. Like,
I'm starting to feel a little bit, right? Like, the past couple days.
Yeah?
Like, WrestleMania's on its way, and, like, I'm getting a little excited because of that.
Well, see, here's the thing. Honestly, like some of it's getting excited. Some of it, though, is, like... This is Heather's first WrestleMania, for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't get to see 30. There's some other people that I think might be coming who... This is kind of their first wrestling event.
Yeah.
And it's this one.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit like...
Yeah, and some of them, like, you know, some people, like, we didn't really hang out last year.
Yeah.
I believe, one of them is, Katie, I think she didn't really hang out with the group that much last year, so this is, like, her first year, and I was just like, guys, why didn't you make her hang out with us last year? Like, this would have been so much better as a first experience.
Oh, it would have been great, then. But, like, you know, so I'm sitting there, and it's affecting the slideshow, like, yeah. not to spoil the slideshow too much for you, but,
course,
like, but, there, but there's stuff.
I know what's happening ahead of time, so you make another Prince Albert joke, you jackhole.
I don't think I'm going to put a Prince Albert joke in. I'm not sure. There might. No promises.
He's not in the card.
Please. Please.
Yeah, fair enough. You've done more with less.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, so I'm thinking about, like, people like Heather and, like, Katie and, like, you know, people who, and even, you know, like...
People who have been to previous ones, but we know haven't watched a wrestling event since last year's WrestleMania.
Right. People who are dragged along by their husbands.
Alexa, yes.
Yeah. and so the thing is, like, you know, the thing to be, that I'm most excited about is Sting being there. And I'm like,
yeah.
How do I, like, really eloquently explain why it's exciting that Sting is there? Like, you have no idea
right.
who Sting is, but from anybody else, and why he's important.
And also, put it to where I could believably convey this. Because it's not you telling him this, it's you telling him this through me.
In pictures.
In pictures.
So
yes.
I have to be like, so I'm like, I'm having to like go back and be like, so the Monday Night War is this thing, and like, here's how Nielsen ratings work, just so you know, so that you understand this, and here's a little brief biography of Ted Turner, and like, you know, and I'm like, I'm kind of starting to go too far back here.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that
We also gotta do better about releasing that to the public this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year it seemed like you finished it at like the last minute just because of the way everything worked out.
Last year's thing was we ended up, the one that was on the flash drive wasn't the final edition.
Right.
So you had one that wasn't the final.
Okay, alright, fair enough.
So
yeah, like I think we, cause I, you know, a lot of people are going to be busy doing stuff that day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to at least release that, like, maybe like around the time that we're actually presenting it, which is usually a few hours before the,
I mean,
the actual show.
Yeah, we'll aim for that.
Yeah. I'm excited. See, aren't you a little bit excited now?
I'm excited for the event. I'm excited, you know what, honestly though, I'm more excited for our event of our Lasermania than actual WrestleMania. It's just nice that they're gonna, it's nice that they lined up like that so coincidentally.
Right, yeah. No, one of these, oh god, we're gonna need a bigger venue one of these years.
Yeah.
We grow from year to year.
Yeah, we do. Go us.
And it all started with me and you.
Yes,
it did. Yes.
It did.
And on that note, I think it's time for we, you know, dip into the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack. Alright, this comes from Jay on Facebook. He asked, do we think that our high opinions of last year's WrestleMania has set the bar too high for this year's WrestleMania, or do we believe that we can objectively look at this one without comparing it to the immediate, and on track to be much better, predecessor?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think, okay, so part of it is, you know what? Your goal as WrestleMania is to make it bigger and better every year. Your goal, WWE, not Jay, but Jay, you just need to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
WWE, your goal is to beat last year's.
Right.
That is the bar. I didn't set that bar. You set that bar.
Right.
So, I mean, that's...
Cause I feel like that's pretty much the thing, is like, every WrestleMania is always compared to the one before it.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. This one has the quote-unquote unfortunate fate of following WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
That's only a bad thing if you book WrestleMania 31 the way you're booking WrestleMania 31 right now.
Pretty much.
So really, it's completely fair for us to compare it.
Yeah.
Because they're booking it completely wrong.
And you know what? To be honest, to be completely fair, leading into WrestleMania 30, I kind of thought WrestleMania 30 was going to suck.
I was honestly worried.
Beyond all of the, like, the Daniel Bryan disaster, even once that was, like, quote-unquote getting fixed, Batista still felt really ring rusty at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's just gonna drag that whole match down.
Yep.
Brock and Undertaker honestly felt like the way the build-up, it just felt like a necessity, another check the box for the streak match. Like, that wasn't...
It was the match I was least excited.
It's the match I remember the most now, but it's the match I was least excited about going into.
I think we pretty much had assumed Big Show was going to win the Andre the Giant.
You did.
I feel like it was pretty obvious. Yeah.
The thing is, Battle Royale, I was like, that feels messy. That's kind of a SmackDown thing. What's it doing taking up some WrestleMania thing?
Right.
Same with the Vicky Guerrero Invitational. Like, that's a SmackDown.
That one we were worried Eva Marie was gonna win.
We were very...
Because it was one fall.
Yeah.
Like 14 people in one fall.
I was like, this is how they could do it.
Yeah.
This is stressful. Even like in the John Cena Bray Wyatt thing, I was like, oh, it's gonna be the thing where he's tempted and it doesn't matter in the end.
That one pretty much went exactly the way he was thinking.
But it was good.
It was fine.
It was a good...
It got a little bit too much Super Cena at the end.
See,
he ended up beating up all three members of the Wyatt.
I still disagree. I feel like that was an acceptable moment in time for Super Cena. Mm-hmm. I think we are, as a people, too quick to bash on Super Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that there is a time and a place for Super Cena. Just as there's a time and place for Lol Hogan wins, that, you know, there was.
Right.
It was overused, but I do think there's a time and place for Super Cena, and Cena is a hero to children, and he's in a mid-card feud, and you get your Daniel Bryan thing at the end.
So he
is tormented and tortured from this creepy comic book supervillain.
Right.
And he overcomes it and overcomes that. That is a fine time to overcome the odds.
Right.
It is a sweet WrestleMania moment. Some kid will remember heartfelt because he loves John Cena, and that's going to be his treasured wrestling memory, and that's fine, and that's wonderful.
Mm.
And so, no, I think that was an up and down, perfect John Cena versus Bray Wyatt match.
I don't know about perfect, but
as far as the way you would make a Daniel Bryan, I don't know why I want to put him in this match.
Because Daniel Bryan was WrestleMania 30.
A John Cena versus Bray Wyatt match, as far as you're going to make that, that's just about exactly how you should do it.
I really want to watch WrestleMania 30 now.
Yeah, WrestleMania 30 was so good!
I don't even know how many times I've watched it.
The build-up was lackluster, but from 7 to 11...
They got everything right.
And that's the thing, is they still could do that with WrestleMania. That's really what's holding me out for WrestleMania 31, is how poo-poo I felt about the WrestleMania 30 build-up to lead into actual WrestleMania 30. And I'm just hoping that that's going to be the same thing for 31. So, cross your fingers, you guys.
Okay. Just so we can put this in the back of everybody's mind, when you're watching WrestleMania 31 on your WWE Network, try to make sure you're watching it on a computer or a phone. If you're watching it on a console, you might have big moments messed up for you.
It wasn't even the consoles, it was just the PlayStations, wasn't it? Because Xbox people said they were fine.
Xbox thing, some people were saying fine, some people not so much. But I mean, PlayStation's like across the board, and honestly, I haven't seen much improvement since then.
I mean,
on live events that have a lot of people watching.
Yeah, like cross the fingers, they hopefully are a little bit better.
Yeah.
Now at WrestleMania than they were a year ago.
Yeah.
But I
still don't.
I think we'll watch it on a computer.
Okay, good. Needs to be on Chromecast. Finally, it needs to freaking be on Chromecast. I understand why it's not.
I know.
It'll be perfect because then it's on phone, and they make sure it works on your phone.
Yeah.
The other thing that is interesting is that WrestleMania is going to directly coincide with the finale of Walking Dead.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's not as big of an issue as it would be, because if it's someone who's feeling kind of pulled to watch Walking Dead instead of WrestleMania, they're probably...
Like, you mean Walking Dead enthusiast Phil Brooks?
Yes. then these are people that are probably going to just watch, or just have it on their tablet in the background.
Yeah.
Just so they don't miss anything, but still watch that.
Yeah.
And for the people that don't have the network and are watching it on pay-per-view like idiots, and they're paying like 60-something bucks for it, no way in the world they're going to turn their TV away from that pay-per-view before 11 o'clock.
That is true.
So, I don't feel like it's big of an issue. Like, a lot of people are trying to say, like, oh, you know, with this lackluster build and this lackluster card that they have, a lot of people are going to be flipping back. I don't really think it's going to be as big of an issue as people are going to... The way that it's platformed right now.
Yeah.
With the network, they can have it on a mobile device. Yeah, they're fine.
I mean, in all honesty, I am curious to see what sort of stock fallout will happen post-WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Weird thing to be excited about the stocks.
But you're our weird cat.
It's what drives WWE. I mean, for better or worse.
We saw how their stock dropping affected them last year.
Yeah.
With them firing seemingly everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, clearly, you know, it's something that affects them greatly.
So, we'll see. Time will tell. Two more weeks.
All right.
Until next time, we should do the plugs first.
We should do it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRTire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, any WrestleMania pre-WrestleMania thoughts, send those over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You can follow us there. You can subscribe. You can write a review or give us a rating of
5 stars.
All that stuff really kind of helps out the podcast a lot.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, send us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget, we're also on Facebook. Just another way to kind of follow the podcast. Follow me and Chris. See what's going on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
Huzzah.